At the end of each month, we check in with Great Lakes commentator and Chicago-based journalist Gary Wilson for updates on environmental stories from around the Great Lakes Basin. For today's Great Lakes Month in Review, we have more on the efforts to keep Asian carp out of the Great Lakes, and more from Waukesha, Wisconsin, and their water challenges. Gary Wilson, welcome back to Current State.
Good morning, Mark. And before we go on to environmental things, I see a Hollywood script in the brewing on that home run story.
Oh, I think, yeah.
that's fantastic.
I think Kevin Costner is the dad. What do you think?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. A guaranteed box office smash there.
Yes.
Well, let's start with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. The Corps released the details of the feedback that it received on various options to keep Asian carp out of Lake Michigan. From the beginning, Gary, tell us what a few of these options were that people looked at.
Sure, Mark. There were a number of options ranging from basically the status quo, relying on fish kills and the electrical barriers, which is sort of what's been done for the past 5 or 6 years, up to the big one, which was total physical separation, which was the Corps said would cost approximately $18 billion, could take 25 years. And there were iterations in between, sort of the middle ground approach. And that's what the Corps was seeking comment on. For about 3 months after the study was released, and they did receive 1,800 individual comments, 40% of which were favored physical separation in some form, 40% favoring physical separation. 35% wanted the waterways kept open for shipping and recreational traffic. So that was sort of the Corps' analysis of the comments that they received.
So when you say 35% favored keeping the waterways open, that is that the same thing as no separation?
No separation, or maybe some devices in the waterways that would make their best effort to keep the carp at bay, but still allow for barge traffic and recreational boat traffic to go through. The real kicker in all this is, and the environmental groups are very upset about the Corps of release here, because the Corps didn't include in those percentages 7,000 comments that were received from environmental groups that were really submitted via form letters, so to speak. Environmental groups issue action alerts, and people get a form letter and they sign it, and then it gets submitted to the Corps. The Corps didn't include those into the percentages. They did report them. They weren't keeping it hidden, but the environmental groups are crying foul, saying that had you included those comments in the percentages, it would have been 90% favoring physical separation. I think all of this is nice, but it's sort of an academic argument. Public comments are great. We love them. But at the end of the day, the Congress mandated this study, and Congress has to do something. And it's about the money. Where is this money going to come from to do almost anything, especially for physical separation? You know, the low-end estimates, not given by the Corps, but given by others, are in the, you know, $3 to $4 billion range. So we can bash the Corps all we want. Environmental groups like to do that, and sometimes the Corps deserves it. But at some point, the ball's got to move forward, and that's going to take congressional leadership to step up and do something and find the money. That's the challenge.
Is there a history of tension, then, between environmental groups and the Corps?
Always long-term tension between environmental groups and the Corps. Now, they do work as best as they can to get along. They show up at the same conferences. They have working relationships. But the tension isn't too far beneath the surface. The Corps likes to build things. That's what the Corps does. They build dams. They manage waterways. They build structures to raise and lower water levels. You know, environmental groups at the other extreme, they like the natural flow of water. So there's a built-in tension there, and they do try to work together. My issue here is that bashing the Corps is easy, and it doesn't really do anything at this point. Environmental groups would be better to channel their energy working with congressional leaders and building consensus on what to do. And I would remind you, when I spoke with Governor Snyder a couple weeks ago when he was in Chicago, the governor was very explicit. He said, we don't have a consensus in this region on what to do. And we also lack a sense of urgency that needs to exist before anything of substance can really happen.
We're talking with Gary Wilson in our monthly Great Lakes Month in Review. Gary's on the line from Chicago. Is this solution just too politically risky for anyone to back the separation or any of the other options there? It's really expensive. The scope is immense.
Yeah, I think it is, Mark. Boy, tell me, in the current economic environment and with Congress at odds over funding on issues, who politically is going to step up and build a coalition? And that's what it would take, a political coalition of Republicans and Democrats, and say that we need to fund in the billions of dollars a multi-year, maybe even multi-decade project. That's a tough political sell when there are so many other needs for the money.
Remind us where Governor Snyder stands on this. Is he the physical separation guy, or is he keep the waterways open?
Well, he's kind of a little bit all over the place. He said he could, could support physical separation, but there needs to be a consensus. We need to take into consideration Illinois and Indiana's issues, because the waterways in those two states would be the ones that would have to be replumbed, and there are economic costs to that. So the governor is kind of, he's sort of on the fence. In fairness to him, and I've been critical of him for not taking a more forceful stand, because he is the governor of the Great Lakes state, but this is a federal issue. The Army Corps of Engineers is in the federal government. They work for the president ultimately. So, it's up to people like Senator Stabenow in Michigan, who's been very outspoken on this. She would be the logical person to try to build a consensus. Mm.
We're talking with Gary Wilson about the Great Lakes environmental news here for the month of May. There was an oil spill in Lake Michigan last March at the BP refinery in Whiting, Indiana. We just reported here on Friday on oil that got dumped into the Grand River in Jackson here about a week ago. There's the Enbridge pipeline and the Kalamazoo River. Was there much outcry in Chicago over the spill last March into Lake Michigan?
It did get quite a bit of press. You've got some pretty big media groups here with the Chicago Tribune reporter there, the environmental reporter Michael Hawthorne. He's really been watchdogging British Petroleum for a number of years now, and he gave it quite a bit of coverage. Media here, the public television station, and a number of media groups paid quite a bit of attention to it, and it got a good solid 3 or 4 days of airtime. So it's on people's radar here. And anything British Petroleum does down in the Whiting, Indiana plant, which borders on Chicago, gets quite a bit of scrutiny. I did take note of the spill in Jackson, which was that spill in Indiana, by the way, was the Whiting plant was very small, but a spill is a spill. But I did take note of the Jackson spill, and it seems to me, Mark, that there's another spill. Granted, it didn't rival the Enbridge spill in the Kalamazoo River a few years ago, but it's another spill. And one of my concerns, and this would be a good question for your listeners, are we becoming sensitized to these? Kind of like, okay, oil spills are a way of life, and we just have to get used to them, be prepared to clean them up. But they are what they are, and I think that's something we need to pay attention to. I don't think we wanted to just assume that oil spills are, a given.
They always seem to be on the landscape. It's like we don't go very long without some other major or minor spill.
Exactly. And yeah. I was just reading a story this morning in the Milwaukee newspaper, the Journal Sentinel. Enbridge has a major pipeline running through Wisconsin, and they're planning to increase the volume, and there's a lot of concern up there.
Shifting gears back to Waukesha, Wisconsin, where there always seems to be some Great Lakes news lately. Briefly remind our listeners of what's going on in Waukesha, Gary, with regard to the Great Lakes Basin.
Well, Waukesha, Wisconsin is that town just outside the Great Lakes Basin. They've got a water problem, and they need to tap. They need to find an alternate source for water. Their preferred source is Lake Michigan, and they've been working on an application to build a pipeline and divert Lake Michigan water to Waukesha. It hasn't been released from the Wisconsin DNR yet, and once it does, it'll go to the other eight states for review and hopefully approval if you're Waukesha. But one thing surfaced this past week that really caught my attention. The cost of the pipeline, if this request is approved, the cost of the pipeline is $200 million. Waukesha officials were in Washington recently lobbying for about $50 million in federal money, probably to come from the Army Corps of Engineers, to help defray the cost of the pipeline. Now, I found that to be fascinating. I think that takes some chutzpah. I could think of another word, but you'd probably beat me off the air here. But, yeah, okay, you've got a request to divert Lake Michigan water. And, you know, I think it's a marginal request, but it may or may not pass. So now you're going to go to other taxpayers within the region, ask Michigan taxpayers potentially to help subsidize the cost of the pipeline. I understand politics, but that takes a lot of guts or something, in my opinion.
And I understand there was discussion with the city of Milwaukee in terms of addressing Waukesha's water needs.
Well, yes, Milwaukee was the primary source. Milwaukee has the water infrastructure. They have capacity. They are the closest source to Waukesha. The cost to build the pipeline coming out of Milwaukee was going to be about $164 million. So they started discussions with Waukesha, but Milwaukee had two demands. One, that they would supply water to the city of Waukesha only, and not to a broader service area like Waukesha wants. The mayor of Milwaukee has said repeatedly that to provide water to the service area is not in compliance with the Great Lakes Compact, and he doesn't want to do it. And the other issue was Milwaukee wanted to link the water deal to a joint venture on regional transportation. There currently isn't regional transportation between the two cities, and Waukesha didn't want anything to do with either one of those issues. So they quickly folded up their cards and started looking for other suitors, and they found another one. But it's going to cost them another $40 million or so, and they want federal taxpayers to help support that.
What's at stake for Michigan in this debate?
Michigan takes some precedent here. Michigan is the only state that's really immune Michigan will never have to file a request to divert Great Lakes water because it's almost all in the Great Lakes Basin. So Michigan's got a strong hand, and it's very sensitive. When I talk to people in Michigan, you talk about diverting water, and boy, that's a huge red flag. And now if you tell them that, some of your tax dollars could have to go to help support the pipeline to Waukesha, I don't think that's going to sell well there. By the way, I did contact the Army Corps of Engineers, and they don't currently have any funding to support Waukesha's request. It would have to go through an authorization process through Congress. So that's another big hurdle for Waukesha.
Gary Wilson is a Great Lakes commentator and journalist based in Chicago. Gary joins us on the last Tuesday of every month to recap the latest news from the Great Lakes Basin. Gary, thanks for your time.
Always good to be with you, Mark. Thank you.
This segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.